Yeah, so what do you do when life happens is the question of the hour. And you know, if you've been listening to our show before, you get catalytic. I am your host, Cheryl Hirsch Kramer. This is Catalytic Radio with Cheryl Hirsch Kramer. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. I'm always delighted to have you here, whether you're here live or you're catching us via the recording. Thanks for showing up. We know you've got choices, and we will do our best to make this hour worth your while. Today was a difficult news day. I don't like normally talking about current events, but that's when we had the explosions in Brussels today, and you're in need of some healing. We have two wonderful healers tonight that will help. We're going to talk about one of my favorite topics in the world, which is crystals. And we have two artisan healers who are going to help us all understand more about these great friends the Mother Earth has given us to help us through days like today and to help us move forward in our life. As the quote goes, change your energy, change your life. Crystals are one of the most gentle and loving ways I know to change one's energy and to change one's life. We're going to talk about how to make friends with crystals. Yes, you can make friends with something that's not human. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about crystals for healing purposes. This is still March is National Brain Injury Awareness Month, and we're going to talk about crystals and brain trauma. I've used them for stroke recovery. We're going to share some stories. Manny and Francis, our guests tonight, have some great stories about how they have used crystals to help people dealing with a variety of issues in their lives. And basically, we got ourselves two real nice guys who have pure intent, who are really here to help all of us. And I can't wait to bring them on. So from Toronto, Ontario, Canada, may I present to you Manny Bartolome and Francis Klein, the two wonderful men who make up Pieces of Light, called E. Manny B. Thank you, Manny and Francis, for being here. How are you this evening?
We're just great, Cheryl. Thank you for having us. It's a delight to be able to speak to your audience. This is a subject we love. We can't get enough of it. So thank you for having us on.
Oh, my pleasure. We're going to do some good work tonight. And let's just get the difficult subject out of the way first. What happened today in Brussels? Then we're going to have a good time talking about the stones. For those of us who are getting traumatized out, you know, after what happened in California a few months ago, what happened in Paris, and we've had so many of these things going on, and we care about the world, what can we do, first of all, to balance our own energy after hearing this kind of news, and what can we do to help us heal the world? Francis, we talked about this earlier. What would you suggest to the audience?
Well, the first thing I want to suggest to the audience is that I suspect we have light workers listening tonight. And it's important to remember that if you are going to try to assist the people in that area and try to heal some of the violent energy that was released there right now, you must make sure that you are very well grounded and protected before you try to do any work at all. My suggestion actually is to send it from a distance, send love and light from a distance to the people in that area, to the families of the victims of those tragedies, and even to the perpetrators of those things. These are people operating right now out of fear, which is the point of the terrorists, right? So we need to send higher frequency energy there, but it is a very risky thing to put your own spirit in that area at this time. It would be better if we could create a wall of love around the area to contain this so it doesn't spill out. You told me a very interesting story, Cheryl, about 9/11, how just an hour south of the city, all of that traumatic energy that was in New York City at the time of the 9/11 tragedy seemed to just disappear, that it was normal life 2 hours later, correct?
Well, it was that I live an hour away from the city, but an hour south of where I live, it didn't have the same trauma energy, the same energy
exactly.
Signature.
And the reason that I think that was, Cheryl, is what I'm talking about. I know I was living in Atlanta, Georgia at the time in the States, and I knew a lot of light workers there, and they were in touch with people from all over the country. And what people were getting together to do was to create that wall of energy around it so that it didn't travel too far out of the city, so that people could still feel safe, and so that the trauma could be contained and dissipated a little bit at a time by people who are here to do just that.
So this is good information for those who have never built a wall of light before. Can you talk us through how we can all do this from our own homes?
Yeah, for me, it happens for different people different ways. It's very useful for me. If I'm going to build a wall of light, and especially a wall of love, I usually pick a stone to work with that puts me in touch with that energy. For me, the best one for that is rose quartz. It's the stone of divine love, and it doesn't take me very long to meditate with it before I start to be filled up with that energy. Then, for me, it shifts to color. I see it as color. The love light that I see is kind of a pinkish gold, sort of like rose gold, the metal. And it has a metallic look to it. And if I see it as light, then I can send it to the area and build a wall of it that can contain the darkness inside of it. So it's a matter of vision work. You know, you just create a picture in your head and then use the feeling in your body and send it into that picture.
You know, and as we're speaking, I'm on your Amazon store, and I'm going to give the location for this because I want to tell you what I'm visualizing as you're speaking. The Amazon store is amazon.com/handmade/pieces of light. amazon.com/handmade/pieces of light. And I'm looking at the pink opal with the rhodochrosite.
Yeah, that's a very loving energy as well. And that heals trauma. You know, the rhodochrosite is particularly good for healing trauma. And this is a very trauma-inducing situation. So that's a great ally to use in this kind of work as well.
Okay, thank you. Manny, would you like to contribute anything to this? Have you also built walls of light and love? And how can you add to this?
When we first moved into our space that we're currently living in now, we set up grids in our space to build sort of a wall of protection mainly. We sat down with some crystals as well, and we meditated, and Francis was almost always able to see almost light surrounding our entire space, like a grid, almost.
Nice.
A grid is a good visual for what we're talking about here, Cheryl, because it's not quite like a brick wall, but it looks like beams of light that crisscross one another when I see it as a protective kind of grid.
You know, I know about building grids because I've done a lot of energy training, so I know what we're talking about. For people who want to learn how to build a grid, if they've never done this, this might be a good time to learn. Could you suggest a resource that they could consult to learn how to build a grid, or should they just use their intuition to do it that way?
I actually think that's the best way. You know, sometimes I think it's great to go to the books and do the research, and Google is amazing. If you want to know what other people say about it, just Google building walls of light or building protective shields. You'll find lots and lots of information. For me, that's all great. My most powerful grids always came spontaneously when I was feeling the moment and just saying what was true in my heart, right? So I think being intuitive about it, being spontaneous about it, and being sincere in your intent is all you need. There is no form that is the quote-unquote right form.
Yeah, thank you. For those of us who always are on a quest to find out how to do it the right way, there really is no right way in life. It's the way that works. So thank you for saying that.
You know, I think people who have the easiest time with metaphysics and metaphysical energy are the people who are the most free with themselves and the most imaginative. And those two words probably describe me best from childhood through my whole life. So it's no wonder I was drawn to this kind of thing, right? We are taught to perform in particular ways. And so we always think we need to have a ritual or a rite or a formula to get things to happen. And what I've found through experimentation and just through my life is exactly the opposite is true. The thing that springs up from your heart that's in the moment, that's present, that you give voice to, is the most powerful thing that you can do.
Makes sense, doesn't it? Usually when you're in that beautiful meditative space and you're feeling all beautiful and neutral and loving and light, that's the voice of the divine coming through, and you really can't get better than that. Even with Google, you can't beat that.
It can give you some places to start. I don't think that's bad, but I think it's like I watch a lot of music competition shows on TV, and they'll work with mentors and coaches, and they work on technique and getting the pitch right. But what the coaches always tell them at the end is when you go to do it, you have to throw all that stuff away and do it from your heart. This is a lot the same way. Yes, if you don't have any idea where to start, then find any technique and give it a try. But that's just the starting point. In the end, you being yourself and being sincere and feeling the love inside that you want to bless the world with, that's where your power will really start to come.
Amen, brother. I can feel that.
And that's why these Crystal Allies are so great, right? Because they do bring a certain resonance, a certain frequency and energy into your system that gives you some raw material to work with, right?
Very much. You know, and there's so many directions I want to go in right now, but I'm going to be a well-educated radio host in this moment and do what I'm supposed to do rather than what I want to do. What I want to do is ask you how you came up with this amazing way of wrapping stones, because what you do is incredible, and we will get there, I promise. But I want to get to the background first. How did you both get into crystals? What got you in, and how did you learn what you've learned to make these exceptional pieces that you now create and share with the world?
Well, this is still Francis speaking. Manny, if you haven't guessed by now, is the quieter one in the room. I expect he'll jump in if he really has something to say.
I'll let you start, and then I'll add my little piece afterwards.
Awesome. I am a good bit older than Manny, and so I really got into crystal work and crystal energy about 30 years ago. I was introduced by someone who was a spiritual mentor to me at the time. It was a very interesting way that she exposed me to the reality that was there, because I was like anybody else. I'm open and skeptical at the same time. But I noticed that she had crystals all over her office. And I would see her once a week for spiritual coaching sessions. And after a while, I started asking her what was the deal with the crystals. She had them everywhere. This was not a small thing for her. And she asked me if I really wanted to know. I said yes. So she had me come back, and when I went for that appointment, she sat me down, blindfolded me, and started putting what I knew were rocks in my hand and asking me how I felt when I was holding them. And at first I was self-conscious, and I said things like, I feel ridiculous. But after a while, I kind of let go to it, and I did start feeling things and described to her what I felt. And we did several examples of those. And she had me then take off the blindfold, and I saw that she had lined up all the crystals that she'd had me hold. She had written down what I said on little sticky notes and put them by each crystal. And then she took out a book called Gifts from the Earth by Melody. And Melody was one of the earliest of the crystal energy intuitives to really write down her findings about these stones. And she would read me what Melody said about the stone and then read what I said, and they were strikingly similar. And it was at that moment that I knew there was something there.
Wow.
So for the next 30 years, I bought them, I collected them, I learned to meditate with them and become friends with them. It just became a lifelong thing for me. I don't know that this business, this crystal tool business, would have come about had I never connected with Manny, though. He really was the one behind all of that. We originally took a class so that we could make pendants for ourselves. And then we thought it would be fun to make them for other people, but I never thought of putting them online. And it's just grown because Manny saw it very clearly.
So this is a good time, Manny, if you want to add something to this. How did you get interested in crystals, and how are you able to actually change the stones? Francis told me that you can hold a stone, and as you're clearing out energy, the stone will sometimes change in shape. How do you do this?
My first introduction to crystals was actually through Francis. It had been just a little over 10 years ago when we first met. we went out for dinner, and he was wearing a crystal around his neck, and I was drawn to it immediately. I had asked him about it and what he knew about crystals. Growing up, I heard stories about my grandfather of how he was able to do these magical things. And one of the things that I've heard from my family was that they believed he had this crystal in him. In Tagalog, I'm from the Philippines originally. In Tagalog, they call it anting-anting. And it's supposed to be what gives the person its sort of magic or its powers. And I don't know why, but I've always felt like he passed that on to me. So I've always been trying to find myself and trying to find my own spiritual journey. And as soon as I saw that around Francis's neck, I was immediately drawn to it. And from there on, he showed me some more crystals. And it was at this one meeting that he had with his spiritual group in Atlanta. I believe one of the members had borrowed a crystal from Francis and wanted to return it to him. As she was giving us a tour of her house, she handed that crystal back to Francis. I believe it was a citrine.
No, it was a zincite.
Zincite, okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And it was a light, crystal. It was a light orangey red in color at first. And as she was giving us a tour of her house, Francis had given me the crystal to hold, and it got really hot in my hand. And when I looked at it, it turned dark red. And I thought
it was almost blood red.
I thought I had broken it, or I didn't know what had happened. I showed it to Francis. And from then on, I was very curious about them.
I can imagine you would be after an experience like that. Can you put into words, and you may not be able to, and if you can't, that's fine. I'm just really curious right now about what you guys do because it's so cool. When you're holding a crystal and you're making contact with it, this is your friend. You know, crystals are our friends, as Francis said earlier to me. They're our allies and they're our friends. So how do you communicate with something that doesn't speak the way we speak with each other with words? How do you make the connection?
Francis is able to communicate with them more freely than I do. I know they react to me. I know that my energy reacts to them, or they react to my energy. I've seen them change color. They become a lot more vibrant. Sometimes the color is dull, but after I hold them for a minute or so, the colors become a lot more vibrant, a lot more clear, a lot more sharp. Sometimes they're a little foggy and they become clear. When Francis holds them, it's a little bit different. She can explain that better to you than I can.
Yeah, Manny's gift is more like clearing it. For me, they wake up and come alive. They become much more active. It's like they recognize when somebody recognizes them. And, you know, I wouldn't say that they don't speak with words, Cheryl, because a lot of them do. And that's where that imaginative part of you comes in. I can hear it. Sometimes it's pictures, sometimes it's words. Well, they'll communicate directly mind to mind with me. I've had experiences where there's an actual entity in the crystal that is like a male or a female form, and they'll speak to me and communicate with me. I don't say that out loud very much, but I guess it's out there now. but I have very rich experiences that way because I do know that these are forms of consciousness, and all forms of consciousness can communicate. You know, communication is not just words, it's also frequency. So I think you just have to be open and you have to go to the less rational side of your brain. I'm very much a right brain processor. And so from the right brain, it appears in that dark place in your right brain where all your creativity springs from, all of your imagination springs from a spot that's not really a spot, right? It's just the part that's dark where things come out of. And that's where I usually hear it. I'm very good at going to that place now. And because these little stones know that, they wake up for me and start chattering away. Because, remember, a lot of these stones have gone through a lot of hands before they get to you and me. They've not always been treated with respect. They've not always been treated by people who even believe in what they are and what they can do. A lot of the stone business in the world is pure commerce. So a lot of times, to tolerate that, I think the stones go to sleep. They just get quiet. But around me, they know they have an ally and a friend, and they wake right back up, and they start turning warm in my hand, and they start talking.
I'm wondering, as you're speaking, do they present information to you in a way that you can take it in? If they were talking to somebody else, maybe they would communicate differently.
I think absolutely so. You know, for some people, it's feeling states. For some people, like, I hear it in words a lot, or I see it in pictures a lot. For Manny, it's more that he has ideas that he's not sure are his. Like, that's how intuition occurs for most of us. It's in my head. It's speaking in my voice, but it doesn't sound like me. Right? It's not saying something I would say. And so he'll look at me and go, is that my intuition? I'm going to be able to, yeah.
This is a good conversation. I'm really enjoying this. You guys are giving so much insight. I'm sure we have people listening to the show tonight who know something about crystals, but hearing how the two of you approach this is a great education. And I've hung out with crystals for years. I'm learning a lot. So thank you for educating me on behalf of the whole audience. Thank you for this.
Oh, sure. We just have fun with them.
Yeah, and they apparently like you, too, because they change colors and get hot and all these other things. So I guess it's a pretty good relationship. Now, for somebody who wants to have an up-close and personal relationship with their crystal, you know, maybe they just wore them as jewelry before tonight. You know, maybe they bought off the television. You know, there are those channels where you can purchase crystals, and they send them to you, and the crystals are, you know, they're colors, and they may not be alive. So let's say somebody wants to be Prince Charming and you know, bring the magic princess to life. How would you advise them to start a communication with their crystal?
Well, I think the best way to start is to put yourself in whatever kind of relaxed meditative state you're capable of. You know, the deeper the meditative state, the more open your awareness is and the quieter the chatter in your mind is, so that you can actually hear something that may be more subtle in the beginning. So breath helps, to breathe helps. Crystal energy is absorbed at the different energy centers in our bodies quite readily. So when I want to meet a new crystal, I'll hold it. I'll breathe myself into whatever light trance space I can manage at that moment. I'll greet the crystal, and I always bring it first to my heart. So I'll bring it into that energy center, and I just sit and breathe at least 15 or 20 deep breaths with it and feel whatever I feel. You know, a lot of times I can feel it as a tingle, and I'll feel it be absorbed into my heart. And then it may travel to some other particular spot, depending on what the crystal is about. Some of the crystals I work with are very high-energy crystals. They work with the energy centers above the heart. Some are very grounding and they're about your creativity and your sexuality and your place here on the planet and physicality. And those I feel lower in my body, sometimes on the bottom of my feet as well. And I just sit and try to be as sensitive as I can to any change I'm feeling in my body or any change I can see in my thought patterns, the way my thoughts are going. Because if you're like me and you're from the West, my brain is never completely quiet. Very occasionally, at very high spiritual experience, I've experienced true silence. But most of the time, what happens is that the tenor of my thoughts changes, the color of it, the pattern of it changes. And if I follow that, I can begin to hear the communication. Does that all make sense?
Very much. Do you also notice that your respiration would change, your breathing gets slower?
Oh, it definitely does.
And does your body
breathing definitely slows down. I feel so calm. I feel my feet rooted to the ground when I'm sitting in a chair. If I'm sitting in lotus, then I feel my tailbone root to the ground. And as sensitive as I can make myself, like I said, to any subtle change, the more I'm able to communicate with this other kind of intelligence.
Well, let's stick to the people who may not be able to have the type of connection that you have, and they wear the stones, and they say, oh, this is pretty, and there's nothing wrong with that. They wear the stones.
No, absolutely not. Well, here's the thing about that, Cheryl, that these stones, what makes them special is that they, you know, crystals are very strict molecular structures. That's what makes them what they are. They're the most ordered molecular structures in the known universe. And because of that, they ring at a particular frequency. Through meditation and through working with these stones, we've learned to associate certain frequencies with the experience of love or courage or faith. Do you understand? And
yes.
So if you wear it in your, you are also an energy system. Everything in the universe is moving energy. So when you bring that particular frequency into your energy system, whether you're consciously aware of what's happening or not, your system starts to match frequency with that constant beat, right?
Right.
So even if you're not aware of what's happening, it is making changes. Your system is absorbing that frequency, and changes do occur, which may not stand out as dramatic at first, but over time, you'll start to notice the big things have happened. You won't maybe necessarily attribute it to the crystal, but I know any change of frequency changes you, changes your choices, changes your path.
As my
so you don't have to have that deep communication. You just have to put it on and let it do what it does.
You know, as my healer Master Jolly likes to say, notice what you notice, you know, and you may put the thing on, and all of a sudden you may notice you're thinking different thoughts, you're having different reactions to the people in your life supporting you. And that's when it gets to be really fun, and you say, why am I different?
Especially, this is where I really notice it, Cheryl. When I know the difference when I'm operating at very low frequency and I'm very irritable and frustrated and angry or fearful or any of those, and when I'm operating at higher frequency. And I just noticed that when I put things on, even if I don't have a conscious intent about it, suddenly I'm not as irritable. You know, after a few minutes of wearing it, I don't react the same way as I would have even a half an hour before that. It took me a long time before I started attributing it to putting the crystal around my neck. But now that I do it more consciously, I can feel it when the changes start to occur.
And it makes a lot of sense. Now, let me ask you about the metals that you use. I mean, you got to go on their website, people. I mean, they have just the most amazing ways of presenting stones. We've all seen wire wrap stones. They're usually kind of eh. What these guys do is they make the wire wrapping an art form within itself, and the workmanship is just exquisite. People I've shown my pendant to, I met them, I ordered something off of their Amazon store. And I was telling Francis this today. I needed ammolite, and I'll explain why in a few minutes. And I saw another piece of ammolite online that I actually like better. And I doused, and I got my pendulum out, and my pendulum was very clear, saying, nope, you want to buy from these guys. And I wanted the other ammolite because it was more pleasant to me to look at. And they said, nope, you don't want that one. This is the one you want to get. And I'm so glad I listened, because what these people are doing, not only are they making a beautiful art object, but they're infusing it with this amazing energy. They're taking out the energies to get in the way of the stones doing their job. And you wouldn't be listening to this great radio show tonight if I hadn't followed what my pendulum said. So all hail the mighty pendulum.
Oh, you know what? We're very grateful to your pendulum, too. I mean, I think since the minute we met, we were kind of kindred souls, you and I, for sure. I find it so easy to talk to you. This was meant to occur. I'm glad you followed your intuition.
It's never been wrong. Whenever my intuition has said something, I've learned if I go against my intuition, I regret it. So even if it wasn't what my eyes wanted me to have, I'm so glad I know you guys. You just do amazing.
Yeah, we are
amazing.
Too.
Thank you. Please tell the audience how you came up with this amazing way of wrapping the stones. It's an art form in itself.
Well, you know, that is more Manny than me. I don't know how comfortable he is to talk about it. I will tell you that we took a class because Manny asked me for it for his birthday, actually. He said, do you want to get me something on my birthday, schedule that wire wrapping class. I said, okay. Because we had tons of stones that we couldn't wear because they weren't wrapped. Mm-hmm. And so this lovely woman, who's a brilliant wire wrapper, came over one Sunday afternoon, took us through a class, and went on her way. And from there, I was terrible. My first piece looked like a train wreck. It was awful. Manny's was much better. And he immediately got passionate about it, went online and started watching videos and just made it up on his own. Mostly what we do looks unique because he made most of this stuff up.
Wow, you're channeling something.
I make it all up. I did a lot of research earlier on. I went online, checked out different wire wrapping techniques. I went on YouTube to watch some videos. I followed different artists on Instagram, and yeah, I just looked at different pictures and looked at other people's techniques and learned to do them at first. And then after that, we developed sort of our own style and developed our own techniques and mixing things up, learning when to use sort of one weave and learning how to use another and then mixing them together to create a certain look. We knew that with each piece, it wasn't really about the wire wrapping. We wanted to make the stones the center point and the focal point, so we didn't want to take away from the stone. Sure, we wanted to add some detail and make it pretty and add some design to it to encase the stone to be able to wrap it and wear it. But early on, we knew right away that we wanted the stones to be the focal point. We didn't want to take away from the beauty of the stones. We wanted to just enhance it and be able to add other stones with it.
You do a magnificent job. Would you please share, Ms. We're talking, by the way, if you're joining us late, we're talking with Manny and Francis of Pieces of Light of E. Manny B., and they make the most amazing crystal jewelry that you've probably ever seen. Could you give the addresses of your two stores online for people who want to check you out?
Sure. Our Etsy store is emannyb.etsy.com. Manny, give Pieces of Light? I mean, Amazon?
The Amazon store is, I believe it's amazon.com/handmade/pieces of light.
You got to check this stuff out, guys. You know, this is just phenomenal stuff. And the energy, when I received mine in the mail, first of all, it came really fast. They're mailing out from Toronto. I'm living in the States. I don't normally get mail from Canada in 5 days. This piece couldn't wait to get to me. And when I got the envelope in the mail, I just feel it vibrating. I mean, I really, the thing almost felt hot to my touch. I haven't even opened up the envelope yet. So they've got something very special going on.
That's awesome. These aren't
just people who are in it for the bucks. These people love the stones. It's really obvious. And the stones love them right back. So you got to check this out. Let's talk about healing qualities of the stones. This is National Brain Trauma Awareness Month, as we discussed earlier. And Francis was telling me some stories I'd like him to share about how they've used the stones to help some young people who've had some issues in life. And I told you about amyloid helping me in stroke recovery. So talk about your experiences, if you would, about how you've used the stones to help people move through life.
Well, I want to start that, though, because when you ordered amyloid from us and told us what you wanted to use it for, I had not really thought of amyloid that way before. And so I really had to go into the books and go online and really do more research. And once I got deep enough into it, I could see why that was so calling to you. You know, I always used amyloid as a prosperity, an abundance stone, a good luck stone, a charisma stone, like that, right? But the deeper resonance of amyloid and what makes it so valuable in healing and why it works so good on the brain is that it's also the stone of transformation, miracles, and positive outcomes. So you absolutely knew what energy you needed to keep moving your healing forward, right? I didn't even know that until you you brought it up. So we always learn new things.
We have a caller?
Hello?
Oh, I guess we have a caller. Let's see what's about to go. Please bring on the caller.
Hello.
Hello?
Oh, maybe we answered their question. Who knows? And if they come back. Yeah, well, you know, I'm glad that I could teach you about Amolite, and we're all here to share information with each other. Can you talk about the work you've done with people who've been diagnosed with autism, how the stones have helped them?
Absolutely. You know, part of what I understand about autism, and I have friends and clients who have children that are on that spectrum, all the way from Asperger's to full-blown autism. And the difference between these children, one of the fundamental differences, is that they are extremely, extremely sensitive to any sensory input. So they are bombarded by light, and so they turn very far inward trying to protect themselves, right? And so what we found is stones that are very protective and grounding, like Tibetan black quartz is very protective. It puts a bubble of light around the person who wears it. Smoky quartz, which is very grounding. Those kinds of stones, black tourmaline, any of those protective ones, if they put this on an autistic child and they wear them consistently, their sensitivity levels... Oh, awesome. Their sensitivity levels go down.
That's good to know. So if you've got a child at home who's having some issues along these lines, please consider this. So our caller is back. Let's see what you got. Come on in, caller. Join the conversation.
Hi, my name is Craig, and I purchased several tools from Manny and Francis, and it's literally, those guys have completely changed my life. It's amazing.
I want to hear about
them.
How have they done that? Tell us about it.
Well, I don't even know how I was drawn to them, it was just fate that I saw their work, because I was, you know, in recent years I lost my parents and I was going through settling estates, and my mind was just like a tornado inside, and I couldn't seem to come back to myself. And I am a crystal collector, and I do work with crystals, and I was trying all these things. Nothing was working, but the first thing I saw was a golden apatite that they had, and I thought, I was reading about it, and I thought, okay, I'm going to get this. And then subsequently, I purchased several more, and finally, the one that really affected me the absolute most was this Brandenburg crystal that I'm wearing now. It was such an effect that I stopped smoking, because I was smoking because for some reason, I guess whenever I go through those kind of things, I was smoking. I've been smoking for a couple of years, and I keep thinking I have to stop with every cigarette. And this has gotten me to, I feel like I'm straightened out. I just don't even think about smoking any longer. I'm focused on what I'm doing, and I progressed, and it seems like I got better or something like that.
Oh, that's so awesome. This is so cool for us, Cheryl. We've communicated a lot with Craig online and through emails, but we've never heard his voice. This is so cool for us.
Yes, it's so great to hear your voice.
Well, thank you, and likewise. I was sitting here watching the fireplace, yelling at my dog for barking at people walking by, and all of a sudden something told me, check your email. And it was right at 8 o'clock, and you had sent me a message about the show, and I was like, ooh. And finally, the show came on, and I was like, I can't believe this is real. I can't believe this is happening. It was so meant to be. Because I often thought, I can't wait till I talk to those guys, because literally, it changed my life. And then you changed my cousin Andrea's life, because she's also into all of this. And the two of us are mesmerized, you know. And people, everywhere I go, people would say, oh, that's such a lovely piece you're wearing, or what is it? They're drawn to it. And, you know, it's interesting how different types of people are drawn to different types of stones.
Yeah.
So some
definitely.
Days I'll wear certain things, and I get the attraction of certain people. All of them have been great. I mean, I haven't been approached by anybody yet that was, doing anything bad to me. But I could see even I have that golden light around me. I always place that around me when I go anywhere. But when I wear one of the pendants, I call them tools because they're really a tool. They're really not a pendant. It's really not jewelry. It's way beyond that. It's something so essential that you have to look at their work and you have to get at least, you'll find something there that's going to affect you and protect you, and you have to wear it. You have to wear it to believe it, to feel it, to understand it. And I love copper because I think it's a great conducting tool. And I love when Manny wraps things in copper. I'm more prone to those than the silver because most things you see are wrapped in silver. And I think copper is a much more conducive material for crystals, and it sort of magnifies their effectiveness. It's terrific. I can't say enough about how wonderful this is.
It's so nice of you, Craig.
Thank you so much for calling in. You've added so much to the conversation by sharing your experiences, and thank you for sharing this with the world. We needed to hear this, so thanks for calling.
Well, thank you for taking my call, and guys, I'll speak to you soon.
Yes, thank
you. All right, great.
Here
we will.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
Good night. So here's what it sounds like. You know, here's somebody who didn't even know he needed to stop smoking with a crystal. Who knew? I mean, you hear other things on television, use this, use that. He puts on the right crystal, and boom, his desire to smoking is going away. So yay for that. You know, and one of the great things about the stones is that they will do for us many times things we're not even conscious that we need, but the stones know what we need. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely, it does. You know, the stones, like I said, they go to different energy centers. They are particularly attuned at certain frequencies to address certain issues. So when you wear them and you begin to resonate at that frequency, those issues start clearing up on their own. I mean, it's the whole principle behind energy healing. And, you know, it's the same. The reason I love talking to you, Cheryl, is that your whole thing is love. And these little things for me, just as all forms of consciousness are expressions of love. And it's love at different frequencies. You know, love can heal anything.
Absolutely. And it's so nice to see tangible love in the form of a crystal. You know, you can see it and you can.
It is. Mm-hmm. It's like, have you ever looked at a beautiful flower? I get the same feeling, right? It's just, it's a rush of love, this natural beauty. It just touches me in a way that heals me. These things are the same way.
They're incredible. And, you know, we're not allowed to say that this cures diseases. Legally, we're not allowed
Absolutely
to say that.
Not.
Well, we can say that sometimes they make our experience of disease easier to handle. That, I think, is legally okay to
say. Absolutely. People have had all kinds of remarkable things happen. We don't ever want people.
Oh, we have another caller. Okay.
Oh.
who do we have? I feel like Phil Donahue is the caller there. Is the caller there?
Hi, Cheryl.
Hi, who do we have?
My name's Bill. I'm from Toronto.
Hi, Bill. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing fine. I'm friends with Manny and Francis, and I have a couple pieces of their wonderful work. And Manny and I talk about his creations a lot, and we come about it from a different sort of place. I was always explaining to Manny, hi.
Hey, how are you?
Hi, Manny. It's Joe. How are you doing?
Yes. I'm good, Joe. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
I'm glad you were listening. I got your note.
This is nice. We're getting like a reunion kind of thing happening. It's not just people sharing their experiences. You know, this shows you what kind of people we're talking to. The thing that's cool is a lot of people do things with crystals, and they don't inspire the devotion and the warmth that these two people inspire. And that shows up in the stones.
Oh, hi.
Did you ever buy a stone from somebody? They don't love the stones the way these guys love the stones. You can feel it.
Yes, of course. And Manny and I have talked a lot about his works and his crystals, and you know, we share a passion. Mostly my interest is in finding the minerals in crystals. From an early age, when I was in high school in the 70s, our geology class would go out around Bancroft, which is a wonderful place to collect minerals. And Yes, I used to enjoy it a lot. I used to find apatite, garnet, galena, all kinds of wonderful metals and minerals. It's one of the most mineral-rich places in the world. And Manny and I talk about it a lot, and we promised each other to go out on a mineral hunt. But
that would be so much fun.
We haven't done it yet, so it's in the works.
It's getting warmer out, so
part of it where Manny and Francis are yet, but I think I still have so much to look forward to. So I've enjoyed this broadcast, and I want to wish Manny and Francis continued success in what they do. I enjoy their works very much, and I really enjoyed listening to your show tonight.
Thanks so much, Joe.
Thank you so much, Joe. I appreciate it.
Thank you for calling in. Bye-bye. Okay,
yeah,
so
sure. It was always important to us that we were not just making sales to random people. It was our intent to form a community and to have people connect up who had similar interests and similar aspirations. So it makes us feel so good when we get to hear these people in person and communicate with them online. You know, the communication I've had with you, it's why we do this. It's as much why we do it as providing the tools. So,
you know what I find too, though? Because I do a lot of the email response, except for the longer ones. I let Francis handle those ones. But even with Craig, who we just spoke to earlier, I've been communicating with him for a good couple months now, back and forth. And, you know, hearing or reading the emails is one thing, but then when you hear their voice for the first time and hear their passion about your work and your craft, it brought me to, like, almost to tears. I just felt like I just wanted to go and give them a big hug.
Oh, that's so beautiful. You know, and the whole thing is about love, isn't it? I mean, you're sharing.
That's the love piece, exactly. That's the love piece.
And I can feel it coming from both of you as we've been talking tonight, and it's really not a better way to spend an hour than talking about love with two people who exemplify it.
We feel lucky, you know. I think everybody goes through their ups and downs in life and their traumas, but the last year for us starting this and connecting up with so many wonderful people and people who are in need, who are responding to what we do, it's just created this constant flow of love through our lives that's really gotten me through some of my tougher moments. I'm a very emotional person, and emotional processors have highs and lows. So when I'm in the lows, knowing that I have this and being able to focus on this, the love just flows right back in and takes me back up to the high side, you know?
Cool. In the time we have remaining, if this is okay with you, and of course we haven't talked about any of this ahead of time because that would take away the excitement and surprise, wouldn't it? If I just mentioned some situations, not health situations necessarily, but situations, could you suggest some crystals that might be useful for
people? I'll do my very best.
Okay, so a lot of my friends, and I'm guessing a lot of the listeners, are what you would call highly sensitive people. They're really, and mm-hmm. Francis, I'm guessing you are, and Amanda, you may be one as well. I certainly am. What stones can help us handle the sensitivity that many of us have a hard time dealing with?
The first one that comes to my mind that has actually been one of our better sellers is the combination of Tibetan black quartz. We use that as the main stone, and we've added black tourmaline, black obsidian, even sujalite. And most recently, we've added black azestulite with it. Francis can explain the energy behind it.
Any of the black stones are cleansing and protective. So if you're a person who absorbs the negativity around you because you're empathic, then any of those black stones can eat it up before it overexcites your system or goes somewhere in your body that would be harmful to you. And the black Tibetan quartz and the sujalite both put out protective bubbles around a person. So, and I actually can almost see them in the air when they snap into place now. It's one of those, I've imagined them long enough that I can almost see them now. So
cool.
Those are really powerful for highly sensitive people. We've actually had a couple of empaths who didn't really know that that's what they were. They just know knew that they were constantly assaulted by the feelings of others, especially the really high, strong, negative feelings of others. And when we sent them these little tools, it quieted it down to where they could function again. So those we really recommend for that hypersensitivity. Grounding is always good, too, because when you're a very excitable person, that's excessive energy running your system too hard. So something like smoky quartz, which creates a connection to Mother Earth and allows you to send energy through the bottoms of your feet into the earth for reprocessing, that'll help with hypersensitivity and hyperactivity as well.
Beautiful. Thank you. What would you say to people who are going through this new trend that we're all experiencing, that our sleep patterns have changed? Many of us go to sleep for a couple of hours, then we're awake for a couple hours, then we go back to sleep for a couple more hours. So what crystals can help us with that?
The one that I use the most is called Stilbite, S-T-I-L-B-I-T-E. It's a beautiful, soft, peachy pink color, and when it forms, it usually forms in association with green apophyllite. So the Stilbite either by itself, and we do have one Stilbite pendant, I think, on our Etsy store, or a little cluster by the bed of Stilbite with apophyllite. Well, it's deep calm. The other one that we use a lot, we both keep this one under our pillow at night. We put it in the pillow slip on the underside, is Scolicite. Scolicite is the frequency of deep inner peace and calm. So it will definitely bring you more restful sleep.
Nice. What would you suggest to people who are looking to increase the flow of prosperity in their lives?
Annie?
Yes, we actually just sold one a few minutes before show aired. One of our clients came by to pick up her piece. I made her a custom wealth and abundance and prosperity piece. The main stone was amylite, and I included with it citrine, peridot, and a garnet.
Wow, that must be striking.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. It was gorgeous. Wow. We brought some really beautiful amylites back from Tucson earlier this in February, and she picked one of the prettiest ones. It was really, really a beautiful piece. So we use amylite a lot for prosperity, but traditional prosperity stones, green jade is a good prosperity stone. Rubies, garnets. Yeah, if you want to manifest prosperity in your life, you can add citrine to it. That increases the likelihood. The reason we use peridot in our prosperity pieces is the stone of increase. So if you're trying to break through your limitations and expand the flow of prosperity in your life, peridot is a good one.
What about, for, I know we're going to have people going to ask this question, so I'm going to talk for them. What about people who want a good love relationship? What would you suggest to them?
I knew that was coming.
Yeah, of course. It always does. I mean, you know, if in witchcraft, the most powerful, popular spells, the ones they always get asked for, are love potions. We all want to connect, and we live in a world where it's increasingly difficult to connect, right? And we all have experienced traumatic things that cause us to close our heart down. So people who want good love relationships, I always say start with yourself. If you want to have a strong, powerful love relationship, you must make sure that your heart is open and that you've healed your wounds so that you can be available. For that, we recommend two stones more than any other, and that's rhodochrosite and rhodonite. They're both pink stones, and they are specifically attuned to healing old trauma and reopening the heart and bringing in the flow of love of the divine. The other one that's really good for healing work and for opening the heart is chrysoprase. Chrysoprase is a beautiful apple green colored stone, and it will help to heal you emotionally. To bring that love relationship in, there's no better stone than rose quartz or pink opal. Those two, either way, whatever one you're more attracted to, they will actually create the resonance of love within you that will draw love to you. Once you're in the relationship, you can bring other things like tangerine quartz, rubies. Those will all notch up the passion in the relationship, not only the physical passion, but the emotional passion, the spiritual connection. Those all get ramped up with those stones. A stone called Tugtabite, which most people don't know, will really turn up the physical part of the relationship. So any of those. Usually, if you want love, a pink stone is a good way to go.
Well, you guys have been amazing. I can't believe the hour is done, but it is. And one more time, for people who want to check out your store, please give the addresses again. And I thank you so much for spending your time with us tonight, Manny and Francis. Your stores can be found where?
We are on Etsy, and it's emannyb@.etsy.com or amazon.com/handmade/pieces of light.
Okay, thank you. And this is why you want to buy from real people, because you can have real relationships with real people and they can teach you things.
We'd love to hear from him.
There you go. So thank you for spending your time with us tonight. Come back in 2 weeks for Catalytic. Our guest is going to be Ken Ferber from the Wolf Connection, and we're going to talk about how people and animals who have been abused can learn to trust again. You're not going to want to miss this one.
Oh, wow.
So, as always, I'm Cheryl Hirsch-Kramer thanking you so much for being with us tonight, and many blessings to you on your path.